All right, here we go. It's Friday, which means can go a little off the rails. You know why? We got Doug McLean back. I don't know where he's been, what he's been up to.
He cheated on us.
He's been on other podcasts without our written permission. But we got him back today.
Good. His contract with us sucks.
It really sucks.
Bad deal.
Bad deal. The worst.
Top of the hour. You're not going to want to miss it. Doug McLean back. In the meantime, you get the three of us for our Leaf Hour edition on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Sammy McKee, Justin Bourne, Austin Mackey. You know how I know it's Austin for sure? I got a 60-second warning that the show is about to begin.
What a pro.
And Jake the Snake Schultz. All right. You wanted the three-game losing streak over, Sammy.
So bad.
You got it last night. Willie Nylander, what's the big deal? Puts the game away with his overtime goal. And
the Nylanderiest outcome possible.
Sheldon Keefe doesn't get it done.
No, didn't get a win against the Leafs.
Where is that measured in letting the air out of the balloon a little bit for you, Sammy?
In terms of what?
The pressure, the weight of a three-game losing streak.
I got to tell you, it felt good. Needed that. Mm-hmm. For myself, for Leaf fans, for people that are in the organization. I don't know, like those two goals by Austin Matthews in the third period in a January game felt big. I can't really put it any other way. Like it just, you know, you lose four in a row, heading onto Hockey Day in Canada, heading into Montreal to play the Habs.
Red hot Habs.
8-1-1 in their last 10 games. They're feeling some kind of way. Felt like last night was a big win and their stars delivered. But yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Happy they won.
And on top of that, like a fun hockey game to watch. Kip, you and I did some games this year on the regional broadcast, yeah. Philly, Islanders.
They saved the best one for you.
Whoa, buddy. Where it was like taking a hairdryer to the eyeballs.
just ugly.
Yeah, nothing
just
happened.
Just ugly.
Some things happened. So that was a really good start. And then, you know, Austin Matthews looked great. You know, and I just thought they skated and pursued pucks in a way that was fun to watch. Nick Robertson, I thought, was a hound. Like, they skated well last night. It was good to see. Good answer.
Can I, before we get even further into this Leafs conversation, just remind people that it's the Leafs line today. And if you're listening now, like, it'd be a very, very late edition. But we do it every Friday. So I just want to make sure, if you want to call in now, you could potentially, it's very late. I've got all my list here of all the ones I've listened to.
But it's got to be good.
If it's got to be good. But if you're watching on SportsCenter, on Sportsnet Plus, 416-413-4141, and there you go. So there you go. If you want to call in before we get into this, let her know.
Right. And the whole idea is that it's your message. You're not leaving us a message, and then we're going to, like, read your message out. It's your voice. It's your energy. It's your personality that will make it to air on our show.
Let's drive the bus today.
There we go.
All right, let's go to our first Kippers Clipper on our Off the Rails Friday. From Craig Berube on what he thought about tonight or last night.
I thought we battled hard all game. You know, that was the biggest thing for me. Our battle, our second and third effort in all zones.
There you go.
Yeah, and that was evident. Like I said, I really liked the way the guys tracked pucks. I thought New Jersey trying to break pucks out just had a hard time. What are you smiling about? You didn't like it. I saw your text. You didn't like it that much.
Two points. It's over. I'll tell you what kind of surprised me, that after the game, the way I felt about their win in overtime, it felt a lot like a Sheldon Keefe hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like the Leafs beat Sheldon Keefe with his own type of hockey game. It felt like what I've been watching the last couple of years, where they're going, but they make these mistakes. There's a few odd man rushes. The first goal was atrocious. And it was like, that's the Leafs that I saw in the years past, where you just shake your head and go, what was that?
Yeah.
And then as the game progressed, the Leafs find a way to get into it, and they find a way to outscore their mistakes, and they're never out of the game because you've got three guys out there.
But
Matthews, Marner, and Nylander to find a way to get it done. Yeah. That's the way they put 100 points together the last 3 or 4 years.
But we have been saying that that has been absent, and they've been needing some of that. Like, you want to have the elements that Berube's building into the system with still having that, with keeping
that.
And they hadn't had it.
No, but, like, look at the first goal. It was atrocious.
Yeah, it's a bad goal.
We never saw that bad goal for 42 games. We didn't. They were good. They were tight.
We saw that variety. But, I mean, they haven't been good. They haven't been good for 20 games.
So do they need to go back to more of that where they just go, okay, throw it up the boards and don't worry about it. We'll just find a way to score at the end.
You got
to
find the balance. That's what they're working on here, is this, they're adjusting this dial.
Okay.
Last night, ozone possession time, New Jersey had it in their end for 429. Leafs had it in the other end for 829. So almost double in terms of ozone possession. They had the puck for a night. And that, to me, was like, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
That you don't want to be the team that's on the wrong end of the turnover scoring chance battle, which it felt like maybe they were, but it was an inspired effort.
Back half of the seat, back half,
back
of, the game.
Half of the game.
Not the front half of
sure.
the game. Yeah.
Why does it take one of these four guys being out for them to really look great sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Matthews is out, they look like they're more involved. Everybody's playing great. Everyone's getting more ice time, except for the fourth line didn't get a ton last night, but the third line's contributing.
You know why?
People are coming up and down the lineup.
I don't know. Maybe less puck to share. I don't know.
It's just, they look so much more, inspired isn't the right word, but they look so much more like, a team. I don't know how to explain it, but they look better sometimes. And a lot of time with their record for the guys when they're out, they look better when one of these guys is out and Tavares goes out. And these three guys have their best game that they've had in quite some time with Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. So I don't know. It's an inexplicable one for me.
They love being the go-to guys, right? They love to get their moments, get their area, and then go make their play. That's how Austin put together 69 goals.
But
right?
Was and that with people that, out, that, though?
He looked the same way last night when he was scoring 69 goals. Give him a little bit of room, and he'll find a way to take 4 or 5 steps towards the net and shoot it in. Like, that's you know, him at his best.
But for Matthews, it's other stuff right now, too. You know, he's skating better. So I'm like, I actually wrote today about Riley, Matthews, and Wohl. And Matthews, I think it's some of the other stuff that's encouraging, but I watched all his goals so far this season. Those are the only two, the last two, against Dallas and Jersey that he's caught the puck, shot a wrist shot, and beat a goalie clean. Yeah. Like, so I'm encouraged. The shot seems to be coming back. The pursuit of the puck, blocking shots again. So,
all right, let's go to Craig Berube on Austin Matthews and follow up what his thoughts are with from yours, JB.
He led the way. You know, I thought that he was dialed in. He was working, shooting, attacking, doing a lot of good things. You know, and you know, we need that from our leader.
Yeah, he was a better performance there.
It's nice to see, because we're having the conversations, like, we're having LTIR conversations for a month and a half here.
Yeah.
And
I found it interesting as, like, closing remark on that short sentence, from our leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done a very good job of leading so far when we have seen him. I think that's a bit of a reminder. You are our leader. That's what you need to do. That's what's expected out of you.
Yeah, maybe. That could be. You know, it's like I said, the puck pursuit and the other stuff can always be there. You're not going to shoot it in twice every night, but if the other stuff is there, he's as effective a player as out there. Power play any better for you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. Coming around a little bit.
I think clearly get it up to the top. Let Mitch Marner look east-west. Just seems like they had more control of it. There's a lot more purpose in it.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we go clip two here on the power play?
The power play, which has struggled, you draw a penalty and get a power play.
Power play the last 10 games is 23%. That's not struggling. Yeah. I get what you're saying. It's struggled at times in games where we have two or three player. We're looking at Vancouver where it struggled. Yeah. I get it. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I understand what you're saying as well. But to draw a penalty and get one,
It was huge.
Especially with John out and McMahon in that spot now.
Yeah, no, it was huge, huge goal. And again, power plays, there's plays, I get it, but it's getting into the net with numbers around the net. They scored a goal the same way, You got to shoot pucks, you got to have numbers around the net. It doesn't have to be complicated.
Okay.
Our boy Lance Hornby from, I think it's the Toronto Sun, I think he's with. Got under his skin a little bit there.
No, it was great. The full retreat on that, which I don't blame Lance one bit. It's like, yep.
He's trying to defend a little bit Mark Savard too, right?
Right.
There's no way they don't know the conversation around this. And it's every day and it's every question. He's clinging to that. Listen, it's 23%.
I know. And it's like, someone really should say it's not the 23%. It's the 77 that looks like your guys have been wearing blindfolds.
Exactly.
Okay? That's what it is.
I'm not going to make Lance Hornby say that to Craig Berube.
Like, okay, how do you feel about the 77% when you're not at 23%?
Yeah.
So they're 20% on the year, 20.8% on the season, 18th in the NHL. Yeah, it felt a little, if I may, felt a little Sheldon Keefe, where we used to say that it's like, we did get respect in the handshake line sort of thing, where it's like, let's actually, give ourselves some credit here.
But I think a lot of that has to do with just being in Toronto. And when there's these certain beats of a season that are talked about amongst media and fans, and you get asked about it every single day, and you talk about it, you're bound to get defensive about it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way you're human nature. You're not going to start to get defensive, right? And he looked up the 10-game stat. He's sticking to that game 10 stat, and he's going with it.
That's how I work as a writer, too. You find a convenient sample size, and off you go. 10 games it is. Bobby McMahon made his way onto the power play.
I'm a big fan, you know that.
Yeah.
He's a guy that is a lot more realistic from going from the third line to the front line to being a power play guy. I know I got killed that I made a suggestion last year that someone should offer sheet this guy, but
Holmberg? No, it was a Holmberg one that was a while ago.
No, McMahon too.
No, you didn't say McMahon offer sheet, did you? I think it was the Holmberg one.
No. Contract.
McMahon, I told them you're an idiot for signing a $1.2 million.
Correct. That's what you said.
Which you have been proven right.
The value of him, if he was now going into UFA this year, if he somehow would have signed a one-year deal.
Give him 4x4. Oh, my God.
All day long.
No, you guys are nuts.
Oh, no, somebody would.
He's on pace for 25 goals.
He misses 15 games every portion of the season. He misses 15 games. Take the money, bud.
He missed seven.
He was in the ACHL 2 years ago.
He is closer to being like a $3 million player than he is a $1.2 million player.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
But regardless, my point in all of this was I really liked him.
Yeah.
And the Leafs stole him, which is good for them, right? Good for Leaf fans.
Okay, we'll do the clip, and then let's talk. I can't believe we haven't talked really yet. So let's do McMahon clip 3.
With Bobby, he's been a good player for this year. He's scoring some goals and things like that. So the idea of it is I wanted a big guy in that bumper just for net presence and things like that with Nyes. With kind of how our power play is set up, I want two big guys at that net.
McMahon also played bumper with the Marlies, and he can rip it, so it's a great spot for him.
Yeah, Morgan Riley watching another guy go out there before him. Probably doesn't feel great.
No, I don't know if that's the right plan either long term. Like, I still feel like in playoffs you're going to have Morgan Riley up there, but try some things. I shouldn't complain.
Did you see Morgan pushing the envelope a lot more again last night, like jumping into plays?
Morgan
and
had
like
13 shot attempts, 7 on net last night.
And
he was much more active.
So that first goal, I don't want to keep going back to that first goal, but he was instrumental on that first goal.
Yeah,
you just got
to
live with that sort of stuff.
But
listen, he's minus 15. Mm-hmm. Tanev's plus 14. They're on the same team.
He's on a bad run. He has been on the ice. Sportsnet Stats tweeted for 10 goals against and 1-4 in the last 10 games prior to last night. So, yeah, he's had a tough run.
A tough run. That's a little bit more than a tough run.
Yeah, okay, he's had an S-word run. You know, he's been...
We can't swear. Really.
Yeah, it's been bad.
But
I do... When I watch him, I don't think he's in physical decline. You know, where it's like he's older and, oh, he doesn't skate like he used to, or he doesn't make plays like he used to. I don't think he's in physical decline. So I think this is mental right now for him. Whether he's got a lack of focus because he's very far removed from a contract in both directions, or because it's January and everyone says regular season doesn't matter or whatever, he doesn't seem dialed in to me. And to me, it's a major problem as they move towards a deadline, because the plan was Tanev was going to be your partner in playoffs. And if he doesn't make that work by then, now you got to go get Riley a partner again for the seventh straight year.
Yeah.
And if you can't play with Chris Tanev, who can we put you with?
Yeah.
Prime Chris Pronger? Like, as I wrote my article today, it's like he needs to show them he's okay soon here. So last game was at least an offensive step in the right direction for Riley.
Yeah. Am I home on Myers Island? The roof blew off in a hurricane last night, so it's not great.
Your property valuation seriously depleted.
Listen, I'm okay with him
Myers
having 13 shot attempts and doing whatever he can to kind of get himself going here, and they're gonna have to, Craig Berube's gonna have to find a way to open it up a little bit for him and take some chances. I mean, in that capacity, maybe last night was a good thing for the hockey club to remember that they once were and still should be again this high octane kind of offense led by world class talent at the forward position.
Yeah,
that play that he made to Lorenz and it ends up in your net, like that's just, he's obviously fighting his confidence, fighting his decision making. Like, he has all the time in the world. Move your feet, you're skating.
Can I just say something, though? Another reminder for me of Sheldon Keefe hockey, this stretch pass, guys, is not doing it for me.
Well, he hammers that one into Lorenz's
feet. Morgan Riley or any other defenseman down low and having guys blow zones or push past the blue line or standing still, God, I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate the stretch pass.
I hate it in particular because sometimes they're so stretched, someone will tip it in the zone, and then you got guys flat-footed at the blue line, can't forecheck it, so you're just handing it right back.
Yeah, but it's like watching ping pong.
Yeah.
Bring back the
I used to call it, when I was marking plays, as a video coach, I used to call it the neutral zone swirl, because once you do that, you stretch it, it gets tipped and turned over, and then they do the same thing the other way, and then you do the same way, and I always knew I'd be doing neutral zone regroup, neutral zone, neutral zone forecheck, regroup, neutral zone forecheck, back and forth.
And there's Engvall were on those teams that you were doing that.
Oh,
for.
Yeah.
A lot of regroups.
So that was a tough time.
Mitch Marner, fastest Leaf in history at 700 points. It's kind of, I don't know, is it a big deal? Like, nobody made a big deal out of it out of TV.
This one to me is the bigger one. This was on NHL's, the stat on their like media site, that he became the 8th fastest active player to reach the 700-point milestone behind McDavid, Crosby, Ovechkin, Malkin, Draisaitl, Panarin, and Nikita Kucherov. That to me, like, I mean, the Leafs' history and like they haven't had the best, you know, scorers, and you know, the history of the Leafs is the history of the Leafs.
Yeah,
just, that to me is really incredible.
Should it be a bigger deal than it was?
That it's like an arbitrary number.
I don't know. Mike Johnson, TSN, did the game last night, and I think, a couple minutes later, he's like, basically, he should enjoy it because Matthews will pass him. Or he made some reference like that.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I mean,
Matthews needs 17 points it just in the doesn't next seem 30 games.
For 700? Of a deal.
Yeah, he'll be pass there. Him? He'll be faster than Marner, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
God. It's amazing that they're both on the Leafs at the same time.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's almost like they should have won something. Austin
should beat them by, 10 games or something?
Yeah.
They're close.
Yeah, so he's got 30 games to get 17 points, and he gets over a point per game, so he'll get there pretty handily, whatever the number is.
The one thing that you got to keep in mind, though, is for the majority of Marner's career, he killed penalties, and Austin didn't. So that would mean that...
More chances for points?
With 5-on-5 play. right? Like significantly more minutes for Matthews. Like we're talking like half a season minutes more.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's like...
You think Matthews has more ice time than
more,
Mitch?
Over the course of the last 6 years, 7 years, if you did 5-on-5 minutes, even strength minutes to go out there and produce points, Marner would be behind Matthews significantly, right?
I don't know. I haven't looked that up.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, though, like if Marner did not kill penalties and he just strictly had more minutes on 5-on-5, you know, those numbers would probably be a lot more improved.
Yeah, but it's really nice because
wasn't killing penalties, he probably wouldn't be about to make $14 million per year. So it's a pretty important part of his game.
Like, yeah, we're not talking money, Sammy.
I know, but that's
points.
That's what makes Mitch Marner Mitch Marner, is that his ability to do it all. Like, if he's not killing penalties, then he's not the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's quite remarkable.
Yes.
Obviously the numbers, the difference of even Sundin and Sittler, you know? I mean, we're talking about, like, the best ever.
That's why it's so heartbreaking that we have to have these conversations weighed against the playoff failures, where, like, the first 3 or 4 years of this, it was complete euphoria, where you're just like, I can't believe the Leafs have these guys on their team.
Yeah.
And after year after year after year, you still love them, you still enjoy it, but, like, there's this feeling of impending doom once the calendar flips to April that you almost can't enjoy how ridiculously great they've been in the regular season.
It's funny because my article today is about somewhat appreciating what's going on right now. Now, Matthews, over this time, since he came into the league in 2016-17, he's third in game winners. I was saying he's actually a clutch player.
Yeah.
Like, by, I know everyone says, you know, playoffs or whatever. Yeah. Regular season, he's third in game winners, but he's actually first in game winners per game, right there with McDavid and Draisaitl, who are just behind him. You know, way ahead of MacKinnon, Ovi, Sid, like, in terms of, like, game winners per game. So it's like, you got to appreciate these guys. Mitch is in his prime. He is as elite as it comes at producing points, and Matthews shooting it in the net, and how it's just, we do need to sometimes zoom out and be like, you got to watch this team all year long.
Yeah.
It's an entertainment event.
Yes.
They are entertaining.
Well, it's an entertainment event. It's a business. They drive sponsorship, pricing, and ticket. Like, people go to pay to see them.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Over 82 games. And
yeah, man. They're making them a really marketable event.
And that's why teams pay these guys, is because there's not too many that you could say, I want to go pay to see him.
And I will say, if you haven't gone to see a Leafs game, Mitch Marner, almost every time I go to a Leafs game, it's like jarring how good Mitch Marner is. When you see the size of him compared to the speed of the game and what he does, how it's stuck to him in real time, in person.
Or the edge work, right? The edge work.
Well, he's
sometimes he just shows off with it. Last night, the edge work thing, right after they scored the third goal to tie it. He loops around. He's showing off. I'm like, brother, come on. Like,
guys that put flair on dunks in the NBA.
It's entertainment, my friend.
I know, but I was like, do we need the 17 edges in the defensive zone? Anyways.
But it is. Anyway, so there's our least appreciation.
How positive was that, boys? Toronto media, only negative.
Speaking of entertainment, you'd also pay to see Willie Nylander skate.
Willie Nylander live is also unbelievable.
You don't know if it's a game where you'd pay or not. Some days you want your money back.
Well, we're not talking about the 8 years that Sammy mentioned 2 days ago, right?
I would be talking about them after I watched him shove it into the middle for a breakaway on a power play. I was talking about it then.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube on Willie's breakaways.
I think he reads the game very well. He's got a real high hockey IQ with reading where he can get open and take advantage of people. That's a great play by Mitch, too, to read the change and get it up to Willie. Willie had a heck of a game. I thought that he had second and third effort on pucks. He was working tonight, as everybody was. I thought the whole team worked, competed hard. You know, it's a good team over there. They got some real high-end players that can do a lot of things. Thought we checked well and kept at it. We were down, but we kept playing, working.
The IQ can drop significantly when the breakaway route doesn't work and the puck never gets out of your own zone. Mm-hmm. But
oh, he knows what to do. Whether he chooses to or not.
It's funny, he was praising Marner for that pass, and I was doing the same on Leaf Talk, and I was like, that's a great pass, great heads-up pass. And then you see the below angle of it, and you're like, oh my God, good change, Devils.
Oh, yeah. Well, did you see Keith's reaction on the bench? To his own team, he just went...
Yeah, like, you just... But he was a great pass. He put it on the tape, two lines or whatever, but it's like, what was that change?
There's not too many lineups you'd want to go against... The Leafs, when it comes to river hockey.
As soon as they got the puck, the Devils, I was like, the Leafs will never see that hockey puck again. And they almost did. Luke Hughes had to hit posts.
He almost split the puck in two in the post. He hit it so hard.
But I don't know, halfway through the game, even when the Devils were up, I'm like, they're going to find a way to blow this. They were just mishandling pucks. Mm-hmm. They were just, they didn't look good at all either, though.
I think a lot of that was Leafs pressure. I thought, you know, they really put the weight of the forecheck on them. Yeah, definitely not crisp all the time. But, the Willie thing.
We should talk about it, I guess.
The Willie thing. This is why when we talk about him, I'm almost done the Willie discussion. I tried to be done. We got dragged into it the past few days.
Oh, no. We.
By me.
Listen.
But he is what he is.
Oh, my God. I said that 2 days ago, and I'm trying to tell him that. Like, we laugh. We laugh at Willie.
Yes.
We laugh with him and at him.
I don't.
But it's like how much, but when it's going bad, like you just, as I said, there's going to be a stretch where he sucks for a long time. And you just kind of, you got to live like Willie and just roll with the punches.
He is the perfect sports talk radio athlete. And he's a lightning rod. He's always been a lightning rod in this market. I've gone from loving him to hating him, defending him to killing him 100 times over my life. Like, I can't get a read on him. Ever.
Nothing will change.
Nothing will change. Not till the day he's retired and beyond.
If they lose in the first round and he says, what's the big deal? We'll try again next year. Would you be that surprised?
No.
I mean, a little bit. That would be pretty intense.
Go ahead, Bernie.
You know, the attitude of, like, what's the big deal is what allows him to take... I don't remember what I said yesterday, but something about it, expectations and standards, and it's not good enough and whatever. Like, it comes from everywhere, and for Willie, it is just water off a duck's back, and then he gets another breakaway, and he shoots it in, and he'll see you tomorrow.
Go ahead,
Gary. I was just going to say, it's okay until it's not okay. So the one thing that Willie has not been able to do, to your point, in 8 years, is prove that you can win like that.
All I know, and Leafs Nation knows, and you know this, is they scored 2 goals in game 6, Willie, 1 goal in game 7, Willie.
But not enough Willie.
Well, good enough to lose. How many want out of him?
Just more then.
How about the other guys do more. Some? Well, he does
I
all.
I want more from all of them.
If Willie gives you 2-1 right? Game 6 and 7, I think it's fair to look at the other people and go, I kind of like the guy who's pretty chill.
I hate that.
So you don't like the guys who score when it counts?
No, I hate that you're cherry picking off of a guy that just hasn't done anything more than anyone else, anything less than anyone else. They're just the same.
And that's not the same as the other guy.
It is the exact same.
They're
equal in points. They're all
great
equal in
Mitch's
points.
Second assist that you like so much. He's shooting it in the net for the team.
They're all equal in points, and they've all lost except for one round
you're
in 8 years.
To grab these other guys and pull them into Mitch's story.
Yeah.
Willie has been the guy against Florida when they lose in 5 games. He had the puck the whole series. He was the only guy who pushed. So that's why when it's not going great, guys go, it's Willie being Willie. I don't know.
Okay. But we'll forget about the headaches or the fact
entirely.
We'll forget about that too.
That's fair too.
Here's what I'll say. Going out there in the media in Toronto, saying not a big deal, eating it for 2 days, idiots like me, and then scoring 2, including the big the game winner is pretty big time. Like, that's, you got to admit it.
Listen, okay, it's 3-on-3 hockey.
Still,
okay? Kipper. It's 3-on-3 hockey.
He fired it in the net.
He floated
give
in
him
the neutral zone. Listen. Mitch found him. He puts it in. Okay?
If we can't.
It's not real hockey.
But
I'm not taking away the fact that he played better and he was more focused, but.
If you can't, I can't sit here and just crap on him when he's in his bad stretch, and then he comes out and he gives them two big goals in a game that they absolutely needed, and I can't give him credit, then I'm not doing it. That's not fair. Then I'm not doing it. Like, I'm not being fair.
Until he wins, like, the rest of them in meaningful playoff rounds.
So now I'm going back to defending him.
You're right.
I didn't want to do
this.
How the hell did this happen?
They're still all in the same boat for me still.
I know, Kipper.
The team is the team. Absolutely. They haven't got where they
need to
be.
He's not exactly Clark Gillies out there. Like, you know, he's scored one or two more goals than the other guys have scored. It's not like it's unbelievable.
And he'll, you know, the trend is, to your point with everyone else in Leaf Nation, that you accept him, you don't accept him. You're pissed off at him, you're laughing with him.
I don't think that many people are laughing.
Oh, listen, I think today they're all loving him again.
I think what happened for those whatever, however many games it was, doesn't excuse, like, I mean, last night didn't excuse that. Like, people that were upset about those eight games were very right.
Yes.
Like, they were allowed to be critical of the way it was going. And even the first period of last night, it was going that way.
And it's infuriating that Willie isn't bothered by that.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He doesn't care.
Did you catch his post-game interview
with the Mother Teresa?
No tarp and then the big towel over his head?
Yeah, he looked like Mother Teresa. He's one of a kind, man.
I'm like...
One of a kind.
And they asked him, they said, like, hey, Austin said, like, no one gets as many breakaways as you. What's up with that? And he's like, I get a lot of good passes. You know,
it's like... those darn kids today.
This guy, man. God.
We should interview his dogs one day.
What a perfect, perfect sports talk radio analyst.
I told you, there's going to be a pet trip one day. Okay? They're way past dads and moms and mentors.
It's amazing it hasn't happened.
Everything left is pets.
Somebody sent me a DM, I forget when, that Connor McDavid's dog or somebody's dog was at one of the games recently. So it happened.
Yes.
No, I think they had him during a ceremony. Yes. Didn't they have him on the ice for a ceremony?
Hellebuck.
Hellebuck played like a certain number of games, and his dog was in the tribute video. His husky gave a whoop into the camera, and they subtitled it. Congrats.
Love that.
Okay, let's get to break because we got Leafline coming up. And Sammy, he says he's picked a few beauties in there. All right.
Again, my morning on Friday, like, I look forward to sitting on my couch drinking coffee and listening to my Leaf fan.
Are we going to get more opinion than questions? Don't answer that. We'll get the goods after the break. You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, as promised, Leaf Line, where we get you, the listener, the follower, to call in and leave us a message. Your voice, your attitude, your opinion, your question.
So we have Austin Mackey on the board today. Derek's not in. You had to ride the levels on all these because they're all different levels of people yelling and not yelling and all that stuff. So keep an eye on that one. They're all interesting. Do you guys want to start?
Ready when you are.
I'm never going to be ready.
All right, yeah, let's start with start.
It's the only way to start.
Will in Montreal.
Hey, Sammy. Great to hear your voice. My name's Will, calling from Montreal. Had a bit of a fun thought experiment to run the boys through on this Friday afternoon. So I was thinking, if Kipper and Bourne were both like assistant GMs of the Leafs and they were tasked with trading themselves from their prime onto the Maple Leafs today, who would they each replace? Like, what role would they play on the team? What would be their cap hit? And sorry, just a second here. Leo, stop playing with the dog. Get dressed. Go to school. Sorry. And finally, Sammy would be Shanahan, and would he approve the trade or not? Thanks so much, guys, for listening for the last 3 years. Always love the show. Have a great day, boys. Cheers.
That's how you know someone's listening.
I thought it was listening to me.
Yeah.
That was outstanding. That was Thank you for that.
Will in Montreal. Way to go, buddy.
All right, you go first.
Yeah, I'd replace Nick Robertson, and I would make less than him, score less than him, and be a waiver claim. No one would claim me, actually. I just through waivers.
I said, my first thought was you were Robertson and you were Lorenz.
No.
No?
But I scored, in my prime, I scored 17 goals. I'm McMahon, buddy.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, 17 goals I scored one season.
It's pretty good.
That's when I jumped the shark. 17 even strength goals.
So, and I, he said at the end of that while we were laughing that I'm Shanny and I get to make the decision if I approve that. And I do approve that.
Yeah.
I think you would run into a few more people than Bobby McMahon would. I think you'd play with a little bit more of an edge,
but
which
I do it
could
a
use.
Lot slower.
The most offensive thing I can say about myself is I remember watching Jimmy Vesey in the NHL and being like, God, that looks like me.
You were that fast. Were you that quick?
No.
Vanilla.
Yeah. Very vanilla.
All right. Ready?
All right.
Okay, this is the second one. This one didn't leave a name, but it was a good call. So Nameless in LA is next.
Hey, fellas. I'm a movie producer out in Los Angeles, and I wanted to give a quick shout-out to the Canadian volunteers helping with the fires. It means a lot. I watch your show every day. You guys are the best in the business. I'm a diehard Devils fan, and it looks like both of our teams need a 3C. Who are you thinking for the Leafs? Bukestad, Lawton, Nelson, or are you looking for a defenseman? And really quick, who would you rather lose to, Bruins or Sheldon Keith in the playoffs? Thanks, fellas. Bye.
Good questions. Mm. So Bruins or Devils is one, and then 3C, who you like.
Hey, shout out to the Canadians that are going down there and helping
out.
Yeah,
that's cool.
They're doing an unbelievable job.
Nameless in LA, good questions.
John Doe, I don't know. He didn't leave his name.
Mike
so.
Cryer? No, a couple guys out there.
Bukestad's not high-end enough for me.
Agree. I've never loved him. Never loved him.
Lawton seems to check a lot of boxes. I think he is versatile the way that Domi is, but maybe a little bit of an upgrade.
How big is Lawton?
I don't think he's huge, but he goes to the areas he needs to. He does things the right way. Like he's a
6'1", 190 on hockey.
Lawton enough, or you need it to be Nelson?
Can Lawton create? Can he, if I need him in a top six scenario, can he go out and... The Leafs have suffered over the last month, wins or losses. Otherwise, I need more creativity of the guy that I'm going to go spend
on. Don't think Nelson's that, though.
I know, and you probably know him better than I do.
You know, he shoots it in the net.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
He's Matthew Nyes.
And
also...
That's concerning.
Would you rather...
But I need a playmaker. I need somebody that can pass the puck. I've already got Austin, who's a shooter. If I get Tavares back, he's blue paint, redirects, but he's not...
Nyes, McMahon, all shooters.
I need another facilitator.
Mm.
Kucherov.
I'd like that very much.
I would rather see the Leafs lose... I think to the Bruins again.
I don't think
you could lose to Sheldon Keefe in first round playoffs and sleep at night.
Better to dance with the devil you know than the devil you don't, baby. Give me a first round loss to the Bruins.
What's worse? What hurts more?
God, no. I think I'd rather see them lose to Sheldon.
Oh,
than the Bruins.
Yeah, because you love a narrative. You'd cook the next day. You'd be on fire.
I can just picture that.
No, I think you kind of know the feeling already. Go with the feeling you already know, than the new one.
Let's go to the next call.
Yeah,
Mike in Northern California.
Hey, Sammy and the boys. I love the new segment. I just wanted to call in as I was after the game on Thursday night watching Leafs and Devils, and I love to talk about hockey gear and how we never pay attention to it as hockey players growing up. But since now I'm a PGA Tour coach and all I'm doing is analyzing swings, and the equipment is such a huge part of the golf scene, I was watching the game on Thursday night and noticed that Morgan Riley is using a different stick. I'm kind of like Kipper, where I know guys' handedness off the top of my head, and I noticed that Morgan Riley's stick was all blacked out. Now, he's used to usually having a white tape job, you know, through the center of the stick, a white knob, and this thing was all blacked out. I also know it was a bit longer. So I wanted to hear from you guys if you think that, well, first, if you noticed it, but then also if you guys might think he's trying something new, a little bit of a longer stick, maybe a little bit more velocity on the shot, and trying to work some magic as he's been slumping a bit. So anyway, keep up the great work. Love the show, longtime listener from Northern California by way of Sudbury, Ontario. Love you, boys.
Okay, Mike, forget Morgan Riley. What kind of courses can you get us on?
Entirely Mike, the way we're at home. Mike, you're a PGA coach in Northern California. We need to
DM
talk.
DM us, Mike. Okay?
Where are you at? We're coming.
I mean, I could use
you
a stealth.
You had me at PGA coach. All right?
Yeah. Did you notice that? I think because I did.
So you guys are freaks, and it was 3 seconds into the game when McKee's like, Morgan's using black tape.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, what?
That one went over my head.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
Left, right, I'm good.
Yeah.
Past that.
Like, once it was pointed out to me, I was like, yeah, that looks different.
That has to be all superstition and change of energy.
Break a slump.
Right?
Do something different.
Yeah. Mike should know with... You know, all the gadgets that they have and
put your keys in the other pocket,
change in your pocket and tin cup it all the way.
Yeah. No, sometimes you're just out of ideas and you're like, I don't know, maybe this will work.
Did you guys use a longer stick or a shorter stick?
I hate everything I use now looking back. Oh, okay. I used a shorter stick and it was very stiff.
When I was scoring all those goals in junior, short stick.
Yeah.
And then they stopped scoring and I still kept the short
just
stick.
Just kept it, eh?
Hoping and hoping and hoping.
I just hated the feel of trying to handle it in by your feet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as someone who was trying to make a play here or there, I don't understand. You see guys like Bedard or Zuccarello's, like, using that.
Ally Afraidy, that sometimes would be so frustrated, he'd go grab someone else's stick on the bench just to
different length,
change it
different
up.
Curve, yeah.
Love it. Let's go to John from Curtis, Austin.
Hey, guys. John here, originally from a small town called Curtis, Ontario. Red Wings fan coming in peace. First off, I'm a huge fan of the show. I do wish well for the Leafs and cheer for them second of the Wings, hence why I listen to the show and every talk or episode of Leafs Talk.
Thank you.
Bit of a spicy question. How are you and Leafs fans going to feel when we watch Austin Matthews look better than he has as a Leaf all year in the Four Nations tournament? I think he likes a certain type of stage and attention. And I think he's going to be lights out for the tournament, leaving Leaf fans wondering why he saved it for this. Do you see any potential controversy coming? Anyways, I love the show,
question, guys.
You all do a fantastic job yourselves. And with the guests you have, I look forward to it every day. I hope the show runs for many years to come.
Oh,
thanks for doing this and have a great rest of your show. Thank you.
Wow. Awesome.
Fantastic call.
John, like,
nailed it.
Never even dawned on me.
Oh, it didn't?
That he would look great and then come back and look poor, or
no, that he's just looked kind of average all year and he goes there.
No. I never thought about the fact that how I would feel if I watch him go lights out in 2 weeks when we haven't seen it all year on any consistent level.
Buddy, was it Willie at the World Championships? Where was it Willie?
Yes.
The best player on earth.
No, he was like hammering guys behind the net and like he was physical.
He was representing Sweden, hitting everything in sight, shooting in the net. And it was like, that was frustrating.
Yeah.
So to answer John's question, it would go over like a lead balloon.
I've said this from the start, and when I did JD's pod, we did preview to start the year, one of the things I brought up is what this is going to look like in this market with Mitch Marner playing for Canada and Austin Matthews playing for America at this Four Nations face-off, and the chance for you, Kipper, I mean, this is on the perception flip of these two guys in the market. Because if Canada plays well, Marner's great with all these great players in for Canada.
Okay, but
people are going to start to. It's going to flip.
It's not the first time in international history we've seen this scenario play out.
Yeah,
with
but
different
not like,
players
not
on,
like this though, Kipper.
No,
the
like
two
this.
Best players on the biggest team.
Yeah, just like this
in Toronto. No,
but it's just happened like with this. Montreal Canadiens. It's
in
happened.
Toronto.
No, I don't know, but in Toronto.
No, but here,
where
everything matters the most.
Oh,
the biggest microscope.
Yeah.
Where Marner goes through Canada, they're playing against each other. Marner outplays Matthews.
It's three hockey games.
But if they're
random bounces.
If they're playing, if they're playing both well, nobody's going to look and question it. Like, they can both look good.
Did you just move to Ontario?
Buddy, if Matthews is dominant and beats
Canada. Points in three games. And
people are going to be pissed,
or
and you're looking at one of them.
Marner wins the MVP and Matthews can't touch the puck it's...
Or what's the chance of that Canada or U.S. win and it's by a narrow margin and everybody's actually played pretty well?
That's fine. But there's some extreme scenarios here, Kipper. Like that... Listen, it's a fair question.
So if one of them poops the bed, you're saying?
I think...
In this tournament.
The question... No, the question's about Matthews and... Would you think differently of him if maybe he's been holding back or he hasn't been trying his hardest? If all of a sudden he can look like the greatest player in the world? I think that, yes, there is real risk of reputational harm.
Fantastic question, John from Curtis.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. Don't feel like it's going to play out that way.
I don't think it will either. But there's risk that it might.
So you don't think if
okay.
So what would you give Auston Matthews' letter grade this season as a Toronto Maple Leaf? C plus, B minus,
plus. Perfect season.
Oh,
compared
gosh.
To what
no,
he was
he's
last
been
year,
disappointing to
yeah,
me.
For sure, me too.
Very disappointing.
Every Leaf fan would say, like, I mean, he's missed half, like a yeah. ton of games. I think he would probably be around if he goes there, and he is reinvigorated. A plus Matthews scoring. You don't think people in Toronto are going to be pissed about that?
No, I think they're going to come back and say,
he's
good.
He still got it.
Now he's going to do it for us.
Kipper, you don't know your market,
he
brother.
He rises in big games, like the you know, his first game as a Leaf ever, Winter Classic, OT winner.
Just cancel the tournament. I don't even want to. Anyways, let's go.
I don't know my own market.
Let's go. You know, okay. Let's go to Bob and Bob Cajun.
Hey, guys. Bob from Bob Cajun here.
Yes.
Love the show. I have a music-related question. After listening to some of Sammy's passion-filled commentary this week, I found myself a bit lost in my personal music playlist entitled Leafs Bangers, which includes such hits as REM's Everybody Hurts, Cry Me a River by Justin Timberlake, and my personal favorite, Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who. My question is, do we know who is in charge of the aux cord in the Leafs dressing room? My assumption over the past week is that William Nylander is in charge, and he's playing Bob Marley's Every Little Thing Is Gonna Be All Right on a continuous loop. I'm also wondering how we as a fan base can advocate for Craig Berube to cut that damn cord and throw on some Fix You by Coldplay. Or is it no longer an aux cord, and it's a preset playlist curated at the beginning of the season by Brendan Shanahan? Please advise. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
I love that it's Bob from Bob Cajun, too.
That was really well done.
Makes me extremely happy to be Canadian.
And
there's
nothing I can add to that.
It ain't Willie. I can tell you that. Back in the day was old Nazem Kadri.
It better be
I
Reeves.
Believe it's Ryan Reeves.
If he's making a million, I mean, anyways.
I heard.
Okay, this is a longer one. Not that long. Like a minute. So let's play it quickly. Kevin from Pickering, please.
We got to start this earlier.
Kevin from Pickering.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Kevin from Pickering here. Love the show. I know Kipper doesn't want to hear this, but the Leafs are cursed, and I can prove it. 25 years ago, MLS&E decided they were going to do whatever it takes and bring a Stanley Cup home. What's the first thing they did? They went out and got Ken Dryden to be president, and we all went, ooh. Not only Ken Dryden is a legend, but he's a really smart guy, and we all went, ooh, here we go. And what happened? Nothing. Then they went out and got arguably the best GM in the league in Brian Burke. And we went, ooh, Brian Burke, truculence, here we go. And what happened? Nothing. Then they went out and got arguably the best coach in the NHL. Paid big bucks for Mike Babcock, Stanley Cup winner. And we all went, ooh, here we go. And what happened? Nothing. Then they did it right. They bottom feed for years. They get draft picks like Morgan Riley, William Nylander, Mitch Marner. They actually win the lottery, and they get superstar Auston Matthews. And on top of that, they get the greatest free agent signing, Johnny T. And what happened? Nothing. Anyways, have a good afternoon.
Feathers.
I need a beer.
That was a great way to end the Leafs.
The trick is to not get people after they've done great things. Can we get someone earlier on the rise?
Us.
Hey, that's us.
That's us.
We're on the way up.
God,
he's
I love
got
Leafs
a good voice. If it goes sour in April, that you got to start with nothing.
Yes.
That way there's nowhere to go. But up.
Oh, man.
Nothing.
That was great. Great. Thanks for the calls, team.
Great stuff,
awesome.
Sammy. And we're only getting started. Doug McLean on Off the Rails Friday when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne. Great segment.